Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is What's Left by Alan Snittow and Claire Schoen. Thank you for listening.
Подошел я молча сзади.
Is the camera rolling?
Заглянул в тетрадь.
Okay.
То ли правда, то ли нет. Перестройка, блеф и бред.
An angry street poet denounces perestroika as bluff delusion, words and words and words again, doing nothing for the people who lick their empty hands again. Many would agree with the poet. 74 years of communism and suddenly it's dead, plunging leftists around the world into confusion, while here in Moscow, people line up for scraps of food. Got it? Okay, go shoot some of the food lines. Over there, okay?
Alan, come off it. What a cliche. You don't know what's going on here. And that shot of the poet is just sensationalism.
That's unfair. It's a great scene. The poet howls. The world spins out of control. Revolution and despair. Great stuff. Wait a second. Who said that?
I think you know me, but you don't listen to me much. I watch out for you. Keep you moving. Keep you from getting cynical. The left may have failed, but you can still have ideals, hopes, dreams.
No, it's okay. I'm just mumbling to myself. Get more shots around the corner, okay? You know, they'll put me away talking to myself like this. Well, Alan, still hearing an internal voice. Well, you'll just stay in here till we get rid of that little voice.
That's voices. Plural.
Huh?
Uh-oh.
Who are you, and what's so funny?
I am the voice of protests past.
Oh, no.
I watch out for you. I keep you from giving in to all that garbage that the left is dead. Socialism is finished. The Russian Revolution was a failure. Who else is going to protect what's left of the radical journalist in you now that you've gone into television news?
What do you mean? We need progressives in TV.
Oh, I forgot about you, syrupy new age Pollyanna.
Oh, you never change. Just the same burned out ideologue from the 60s.
Est-loving noodlehead.
Stalinist cynic.
70s mushbrain.
Bombastic blowhard.
Enough! No talk, I'm on camera. Okay, roll. Thousands of people came to hear Boris Yeltsin. Many of them, like these teenagers, have joined political clubs, parties. These young activists and older reformers like Igor Chubais and dissident Yelena Bonner may listen to leaders like Yeltsin, but they don't just want to substitute one leader for another.
We are not a country where one leader decides anymore. Now we decide. People decide.
It turned out that the people in the Soviet Union are alive, not dead. They don't always need official leadership and guidance. No. They can handle things and do things themselves and be the leaders.
Я слушаю. Well, well, if it isn't the new Tsar of Russia.
Who's that?
It's Yeltsin. He's got lots of popular support.
So did Stalin. Listen, Yeltsin is a demagogue. His only program is warmed over Reaganomics. He'll turn the whole place over to economists from Harvard or the Hoover Institution.
Don't listen to him. He'll never learn. It's not the program that's important. It's the process. Democracy.
Oh, that's so new age. Process. You listen, results are what count. And I'll tell you what these activists will get for results. Whatever the West forces them to take. You want food aid? Then sell us all your best industry cheap. You want investment? Then do what our bankers tell you. Now that's reality. That's the future.
Whatever the future is, it's up to them, not us.
What I want to know is whether any of these movements are left-wing, like me.
That's a fair question.
What does he mean by left?
Also a fair question.
You know exactly what I mean. I mean anti-capitalist, I mean anti-imperialist, I mean socialist.
What's socialism?
I thought I was supposed to be the cynical one. You can't just chuck the categories of political thought and tradition because the going gets a little tough.
It's just a word game, a waste of time.
Yeah, you give up words, the ideas go next.
Everyone's got their own definition, and no one knows what the next person means.
Nah, you've got no sense of the movement's history.
All right, quiet, you two. I have an interview. Vyacheslav, stand over here. I'll introduce you for the camera. For 74 years, people worldwide defined their politics as right or left, measurements usually linked to the seemingly eternal battle between Soviet communism and Western capitalism. Out of habit, Soviet activists still use the words, but what do they mean now? Vyacheslav Igrunov studies the new Soviet movement.
This new movement pays too much attention to words, like socialism, leftist, right-wing, rather than to values, like human dignity or human rights, or morality in general.
Socialist morality may mean nothing to them anymore, but I know what it is, or what it's supposed to be.
Okay, what?
It means sweeping out the capitalists. Workers' control of the means of production, using production for the common good.
Ah, oh, I have been enlightened. A beam of light. A new socialism shouldn't deny the spirit. It does mean people making the big economic decisions that affect their lives, but it shouldn't deny the separate realm of faith. What's that? Oh, for heaven's sake, they're here too?
Hare Krishnas, capitalist economics. People here are willing to try just about anything these days. But ask them about socialism, they think they've seen it all.
I don't think any social program can attract much support in this country just because it's called socialist. For 70 years, the things done to people were done in the name of socialism.
People here believe that socialism is the reality they see outside their windows every day. They were persuaded this is socialism. And those who weren't convinced, they were punished.
It may be hard to know what the post-communist future holds for this country, but the past is known. Much of it lives in places like this, the Peter and Paul Fortress Prison in St. Petersburg. On the walls, pictures of the unlucky souls who stayed and sometimes died in these cells. These walls have stood through revolution, civil war, famines, purges, and the Gulag concentration camps, all carried out in the name of socialism.
You know, my grandfather was killed in camp, and there are no family in Russia without losses.
My grandmother was sent to Siberia in 1949, and I still don't know why.
Это было, когда улыбался только мертвый спокойствию рад.
In those years, only the dead smiled glad to be at rest.
During Stalin's purges in the late 30s, the poet Anna Akhmatova spent 17 months waiting in lines outside a prison, hoping to see her son.
Тогда стоящая за мной женщина с голубыми губами,
beside me, in line was a woman with blue lips. Suddenly she woke from the stupor so common to us all and whispered in my ear. Everyone spoke in whispers there.
А это вы можете описать?
Can you describe this?
Я сказала.
And I said, yes, I can. And then something that looked like a smile passed over what had once been her
face.
Later, dissidents like artist Yuli Rybakov created what was still a largely symbolic culture of resistance. They tried to do more than tell the story for posterity. They publicly challenged the symbols of authority and paid the price.
In the 70s, I was involved in dissident activity, which meant that we printed samizdat, prohibited literature. Another artist and I, the two of us, wrote a big slogan, a really huge one, 40 meters in length, on the wall of the Peter and Paul fortress. It said, "You crucify freedom, but man's spirit knows no chains." As a result of this battle, I was in prison for 6 years.
What they lived through and its symbols are still present in their lives. Like Michael Gamberg, they grew up with Lenin, not as an intellectual or politician, but as earliest memory. A picture of him over a child's bed, a statue in the playground, a pin on the Komsomol scarf, a song in kindergarten.
Ленин всегда живой, Ленин всегда со мной. Та-та-та-ти, та-та-та-та-ти. Means Ленин is always alive, Ленин is always in my heart. So you wake up in the morning with Ленин and you go to sleep together with Ленин. And when I was 4 years old, this is a song that I supposed to sing together every morning. And other one is Я маленькая девочка, я танцую и пою. Я Ленина не видела, но я его люблю. I'm a little girl, I'm dancing and I'm singing. I never met Lenin, but I love him. We sang the same song, we thought the same way. It's still in my head. And it will be in my head till I die.
Geez, after all that, I need a drink.
Don't know much about history.
Waitress, scotch on the rocks.
Don't you think it should be vodka?
Please, waitress, make it Stoli instead. Now you're even telling me what to drink.
Just show a little solidarity.
Solidarity? Most Russians can't even come into this bar because they only take hard currency, no rubles. Actually, do you have any dollars on you?
You know, we don't need money.
Oh, you've transcended currency. You two are the perfect communists.
All you're doing is running down communist ideals that millions of people have fought and died for.
Whoa, you've been holding it in, haven't you?
Look, you can't reduce Soviet history to Stalinist terror. The revolution and the Communist Party took a backward country and made it a superpower. They inspired generations of activists and revolutionaries all over the world.
To do what?
To free their countries from colonialism and capitalism to fight for the rights of workers.
They hardly needed Stalin to do that.
What they needed was the example of a revolution that not only took power, but kept it, that survived imperialist attack, and for their part, the Soviets gave guns and money for Third World liberation.
Revolution doesn't have to be violent.
Oh, come on. Ruling classes don't give up power peacefully. They gotta be driven out. And revolution is the driving force of history. That's Marx.
Shall we genuflect?
That's your department.
Red Square, symbol of Soviet power, of a revolution that survived, but turned against millions of its own people.
But where does this country go from here? The startling new changes seem only to intensify old debates over reform or revolution. I asked two leading Russian social democrats, Oleg Rumyantsev and Andrei Fadin, if perestroika should be considered revolutionary or evolutionary change.
We are believing in perestroika as a revolution from below, a peaceful revolution, a revolution without violence.
I would say Oleg means evolution than revolution, because many of us think that there are enough revolutions for this country, for this century.
But I stress that it's peaceful and non-violent revolution.
Well, but revolution has its own dynamic and its own, well, logic.
I hate this. Here we are in Red Square in front of Lenin's tomb, and you can't even say revolution without people freaking out. For 70 years, we American leftists defended the Russian Revolution, and we paid a heavy price for it. And now the Russians come back and tell us, oh, baby, revolution? Socialism? Bad ideas. Don't work. Get used to it.
To me, revolution means something different. Inspiration. Fundamental change. People seizing the initiative.
Please. Revolution isn't some vague personal experience of transcendence. It's about political power, and to get power, you need a base, a theory, a party. Otherwise, you got no leverage. Look at the U.S. Progressives are being clobbered. They can't even win an election, much less a revolution.
That's life. We're going to be clobbered for a while. The American elite won't go away, so we'll have to outlive them. That's what happened here. Gorbachev's generation outlived Brezhnev's. The Yeltsin crowd is leaving Gorbachev behind. It's the way things will change in the U.S. too.
You substitute demographics and generational change for organizing.
Yes, I start from who I am, not from imposing universal paradigms of socialism or revolution. You 60s types are stuck in the past and hopeless about the future.
And you 70s types talk as if the problem of political power doesn't exist. So you have an illusion of freedom, of personal choice, as if politics were like changing television channels.
На чрезвычайной сессии выступил президент РСФСР Борис Николаевич Ельцин.
In the electronic media, too, a new generation of journalists has taken over the television networks, telling a new story of Soviet life. Imagine that happening in the United States. I can't get away saying that.
Why not?
It's like telling the boss he should quit.
I suppose it is a little out in front, but how would they react back at the station, really?
Oh, they'd raise their eyebrows and then they'd shrug.
Would it make you feel better if they fired you?
Don't give up hope. Things change in miraculous and unexpected ways. Look at these last few years here and in Eastern Europe.
Ah, miracles. The CIA has been working on this one for years.
You're hopeless, even in the face of miracles.
Hey, after all the celebrations at the Berlin Wall, after all the fireworks when the coup failed in Moscow, what are you really left with, eh? U.S., German, and Japanese capitals dividing the world up among themselves, including the former communist countries.
This country may be a little too big to colonize so easily.
They're gonna provide raw materials and cheap labor for the West. Would you please change the channel?
Wash your hands. Wash your nose.
Everyone here is taking English.
You see what I mean? Next, they'll be giving TV business classes with courses like How to Create a Union-Free Environment. Or Never Give a Sucker an Even Break.
And wash your tails.
There seems to be nobody here I can agree with.
Well, how about this one?
Я считаю, что перестройка необходима сама по себе как форма.
I think perestroika is essential for the reorganization of our society. But not to the point of making our economy capitalist. We consider that it is inevitable that private property will logically and practically lead to exploitation of workers. It's the restoration of pre-revolutionary capitalist bourgeois relations.
Right on, brother. So there are people who are trying to stop the slide toward the capitalist market.
Sergei Bindyin is part of the United Front of Workers.
Good. Unions.
Not exactly. It's considered a front for right-wingers still entrenched in the Soviet bureaucracy. It's even linked to anti-Semitic groups.
But I agree with what he said. I'm having a problem here.
Yeah, it's called Pavlovian response to right-on rhetoric.
You know, voices of conscience like you didn't used to talk like that.
Times change.
It's time for a change of scenery. I've got a live satellite feed from the toy store. Is this okay? Next to the checkout line. You got the tapes? Okay, we can roll them from here. Yeah, I hear the anchors in my earphone. Good connection. Here we go. Pat, Jerry, this Moscow toy store just catty-corner from the KGB is typical. Lines like this one at the cash register are just about everywhere. Hours online with little to show for it. And a lot of people here are ready to support what they call the market. But what kind of market will it be? Many radical critics of the old Soviet system, journalists like Russian Anatoly Belyaev, sound a lot like conservatives back home. They want it the American way.
I would like to have a market like the United States market, you know. General Electric or General Motors, you know, real enterprise, American enterprise, with American methods, just Russian hands. That's all.
Yes, Pat, it looks like the market has won the day.
What? That's garbage.
Not everyone agrees.
Oh, you want to be a lackey.
Aren't you going to tell them about the others, the new dissidents?
That's right, Pat, Jerry. Yeah, yeah.
Would you two shut up? I'm live.
No, I didn't mean you. You see, it's true that many people here want a market economy, but not the kind of capitalism we have in the United States. I know you didn't hear much about that. I suppose you could call them the new dissidents, people like Russian Deputy Leonid Volkov, want what they call social democracy, or even democratic socialism.
Socialist, not of words, but socialism of deeds, of the real freedom for workers, for workers' union, for intellectuals of socialistically constructed minds, and so on.
Contrary to what we've heard so often reported, there is still a big debate ahead about where this country should go. We hear about the people who want the conservative U.S. model, but there's also what we'd call a left, for want of a better word. They're part of the democratic movement, and the polls show they've got fairly significant support. Pat, Jerry, back to you. Are we clear? Okay, call it a wrap.
Congratulations, you gave them a different story.
Oh, come on, this isn't about getting an Emmy. You really think those social democrats make a difference?
Huh? Yeah.
That's malarkey. They're just trying to avoid the choice between capitalism and being a real socialist opposition. There are only the two ways.
I don't think I agree with that. Either or, black or white, you two only think in terms of good and evil. Everything's always a choice between only two options. Everything's a caricature. You gotta get beyond that old Cold War way of thinking.
And now that the Cold War is over, I suppose you think you can dispense with us, that you've discovered what? A third way. Something between heaven and hell, capitalism and communism. I suppose your ideal is purgatory.
At least from purgatory, you can work your way up. But maybe that's your problem. You want some kind of paradise. I don't buy that promise here anymore. The angry street poet Igor Konjanovsky finishes his sarcastic poem, "Let the accordions play merrier and louder. We may suffocate and perish, but at least we'll build a paradise, an all people's paradise."
How can you leave? You haven't found any clear answers to take back to the States. I mean, I don't know if I won you over. What are you left with?
Well, Amazing change is happening. A new world's in birth, and our language can't keep up with the reality. Even people in the middle of it, like journalist Gleb Pavlovsky, are just trying to keep their heads above water and do something positive.
Our society is no longer a place for observers. A person's individual action can make a difference, can have an influence, can make life better or worse. And if we have to live poor, then we have to do so with dignity. We have no right to expect miracles to help us get out of having to do hard work.
You see? It's time to move. Be active. Are you there? She's gone.
That gives me the last say. And you? You still have to answer the question. What's left after 70 years of communism? What's left of the left? Answer me that.
I suppose the left we grew up with is dead, and people like you and me have to mourn it and move on. There are all kinds of new movements out there that challenge our old definitions. But then, ultimately, what do you believe in? The words or people? Are you there? He's gone, too. Well, I'll give the last word to Russian environmentalist Pyotr Kozhevnikov.
Glasnost and perestroika, those are quite funny, toy sort of words for kids, and they shouldn't be overestimated. It's not that people were granted glasnost, but rather they earned it with their courage. I think that Westerners should support the grassroots movements, because it's the last group of active, uncompromising, and honest people who are left.
You just heard What's Left by Alan Snitow and Claire Schoen, broadcast by New American Radio.